I'm Phil.
And I'm Molly.
And it's Del Toro. I'm Phil.
And I'm Molly.
And it's Del Toro time. It's Del Toro time. We're back with more movies.
Uh-huh.
We had some exciting movies a few weeks ago now. Our Mr. Del Toro won some awards.
Yee.
He won
Best Picture
and Best Director for The Shape of Water at the Academy Award. Ollie does not follow award shows.
I can't tell if you want me to say something or if you're just being patronizing.
Both? Maybe? Some? Kind of? The Shape of Water, this is a few weeks back by now, but The Shape of Water won 4 Oscars. Best score, best director, best...
Some people are very upset about that.
Yeah, people get all like bent out of shape about it, but it won 4 Academy Awards. That's a huge deal for a science fiction horror fantasy film that people were kind of expecting and kind of took in all kinds of weird ways. Plus, Mexicans won, because also Coco won, mm-hmm. and we're very proud of that. Like, Coco won for best song. A lot of Latino artists took home awards that night. It was an amazing evening. I didn't watch it.
Neither did I. You can't see me right now because this is just audio, but I'm nodding along to what he's saying.
I can totally see you right now.
Talking to our listeners,
oh,
Dad.
So it was a big night, and I didn't see it because I went to bed because I'm an old man and I'm tired all the time.
Now, I didn't see it because I don't care.
Also, I didn't see it because I don't have any way to watch the Oscars. I don't have access
to it. Didn't you watch it like once when we were in our duplex?
Yeah, that's back when we had like a TV with bunny ears and I could watch network television. Now I just watch hilarious clips from it on the Twitter.
Why do you watch things on Twitter?
Because where people post clips like right away. Oh. So I'll be like, I want to see this person. So like you wait 5 minutes and there's a clip of like so-and-so giving their speech.
I watched the Jamie, what is his name?
Jamie Kennedy?
No.
James the Giant Peach?
Lin-Manuel Miranda and...
Weird Al Yankovic?
No, the other guy.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yes, him. Okay. reacting to Weird Al Yankovic's song.
Oh, I see.
It was very good.
It was very cute. And then they did a whole lip sync on the show. Again, very cute. Lin-Manuel Miranda and Weird Al Yankovic are two very adorable men.
Okay.
Speaking of adorable men,
Dad.
1943's, the movie we're discussing is... Do you remember what it is?
No.
I'll give you a hint.
Frankenstein? Zombies.
I walked by a zombie, and it felt fine. No, I walked with a zombie from 1943's, starring no one in particular. A bunch of people who died in the 70s and didn't do much. James Ellison, Francis D., Tom Conway, people who I couldn't pick out of a lineup. I don't really know them. I looked up their credits. They all died in the 70s. Directed by Jacques Tourneur, who is best known...
Is this in French?
No, it is not in French. Jacques Tourneur is a French director, but he came to America to direct some movies.
To the America.
He came to the America. He made some famous movies for RKO Studios, including Cat People, The Leopard Man, The Bobcat Boy, Kitten Woman...
Are you?
I'm kidding.
Okay.
He made Cat People and The Leopard Man. Cat People is his most famous movie.
Okay.
I believe it's his most famous movie. It was, he sort of specialized, I say specialized, he made a few movies that had the theme of, is this supernatural or is it just our imagination? As like, what's going on here? That's kind of his deal.
Or are we just on drugs?
Or are we Devo? I don't know. But he made this movie called I Walked With a Zombie. I don't know anything about this movie except one thing. I know about this movie, but I'm not going to tell you what it is before we see the movie, because I'm going to see if A, you pick up on it, and B, I pick up on it, like if it's actually a thing or if it's just a thing. Does that make sense?
No.
I'm going to see if the thing that I know about the movie is actually obvious or if it's one of those things that you have to know about, and if you're looking for it, you notice it.
What is this thing about the movie?
We're going to watch the movie, and then you're going to tell me, oh, it was this thing. Or you're going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So it's just one of those things. Also, this movie is super short. It is 69 minutes. Nice. It's barely over an hour. Like, this hardly qualifies as a film. Is it?
Feature length film?
Yeah. I was going to say it almost qualifies as a, I couldn't think of what a short film was called. I almost said a filmette. A filmette. A filmling.
No.
So I Walked with a Zombie. We're back into the realm of horror, perhaps?
Or just weirdness.
Or just
French
weirdness. It's not a French movie. These are very American.
But the guy who directed it was French.
The guy who directed it is French, but Alfred Hitchcock was British.
And you could tell.
Yeah, I guess you could tell. That's it. That's really obvious. There's really nothing else for us to say before we see this. I hope it's atmospheric and fun. There's a reason Guillermo del Toro likes it. I don't know what it is yet, though.
Okay, but he liked The Raven.
We always say that, and I keep having to remind you that we liked The Raven, even though it was a bad film. It wasn't that it was an unenjoyable movie. It was that it was stupid to the bone. And it made us feel funny about Mr. Del Toro for a while. So
we also did recommend the movie.
The movie. I will always recommend The Raven if you're looking for something to watch. But we are not discussing The Raven.
We're always discussing The Raven.
We are discussing I Walked with a Zombie. So without further ado, Ollie, are you ready to watch I Walk with a Zombie?
Are we going to watch it now or in like 20 minutes?
It doesn't matter. This is a podcast.
It matters to me.
As far as the listeners, because we're watching it right this very second. Probably eat a little bit and then we'll watch it. Okay. I'll see you guys on the other side. Human centipede? Oh, it's human centipede.
Get ready to mentally scar your children.
Well, we are discussing Wienerville, the Nickelodeon puppet classic about a man whose face is a puppet.
He turns children into puppets.
He turns children into wieners.
And then pours slime on them.
And wieners into puppets. In a way, aren't all of our faces puppets?
Well, I mean, we control them.
Yep.
Like, puppets, with, like, strings and stuff.
Our voices come out of our faces.
Yes, but, like, We're not controlling it externally.
I know, but our muscles are like strings, and our tendons are like hands. Human face puppets. Wienerville.
What if you just peeled your face off?
That's a movie about that. It's called Face Off. I mean, he doesn't peel his own face off. Someone else does. A doctor does. And replaces it with another man's face.
It's like that a movie, that horror movie that I really like. It's like called Patchwork or something.
I Walked with a Zombie.
No, but it's about these three women who two of them get kidnapped and they get sewn onto each other's bodies. So it's a mishmash of all these three women, but they're all still conscious in their one head.
That's disgusting.
It's a really good movie.
Who made it?
I don't know, but it's really good. It's all about them, like, slowly unraveling, and then they find out that one of the girls has been lying, and that she actually hired this guy.
Well, don't give it all away. What if our listeners want to see Patchwork?
I don't think it's on Netflix anymore.
Well, you can still see movies in other
ways. I don't
know
where you would see it. I didn't even know it existed until it was, like, recommended to me on Netflix.
Well, let's give a quick recommend to the movie Patchwork.
I don't even know if that's what it's called.
That's our weekly recommendation from our bi-weekly show. Ollie recommends Patchwork.
I really don't, actually.
Ding!
Okay.
Patchwork. So, what are we talking about in real life? We're not talking about Wienerton. We're talking about...
Mr. Meaty.
Mr. Meaty's Wonderful World of Zombies. No, we're talking about 1943's I Walked with a Zombie, which we just watched.
Yeah.
We just watched it. We just came out of the viewing booth. Took off our 3D glasses.
Yep.
Put our popcorn in the bin and said, what a good movie.
We didn't just watch it.
But we did watch it. We did watch I.
No, we didn't. We're just going to talk about it.
We're going to pretend we watched I Walked with a Zombie. Well, we watched I Walked with a Zombie. It was a scant.
We've never actually watched any of the movies we talk about.
Right. We just read a lot of Wikipedia articles. It was a scant 79 or so minutes.
Mm-hmm. No, it was 69 minutes.
Was it?
It's the joke I made.
Nice. It was a short film. But still packed with activity. Before we get into it, this movie was loosely based on a very loosely based on a magazine article by Inez Wallace.
Cool.
Inez Wallace was a reporter who, quote unquote, went to Haiti, where she, quote unquote, met voodoo doctors and, quote unquote, met a zombie. And she wrote an article about it called I Met a Zombie. She refers to them as human robots from the grave. And she says that although this widespread belief has no basis, the real truth about walking dead men is more fantastic. Inez Wallace, there was an article basically where she goes to Haiti. She meets a bunch of racial stereotypes, makes some broad generalizations about a culture, and comes to the conclusion that there is a magic medicine that can turn people into zombies. It's not supernatural, it's a magic medicine. A storyline that would be revisited much later in the book, The Serpent and the Rainbow, which would be turned into the movie, The Serpent and the Rainbow, starring the great Bill Pullman. Anyway, that's... If you want to see another Haiti zombie movie, that's one of them. Just as terrifying, just as racially questionable.
So not terrifying at all.
But it's more terrifying just because they ramp up the, oh boy, aren't these religious practices spooky quotient. That this movie that we watched manages mostly to avoid. But when Val Lewton was like, I want to make a movie based on this. They were like, well, you can't call it I saw a zombie or I met a zombie. You have to call it I walked with a zombie. He was like, fine. And then he was like, well, I still want to make this movie. However, I don't want to base it just off of this newspaper article. I want to base it on
Jane Eyre.
What?
I can't believe I remembered that.
What? A zombie movie based on Jane Eyre?
Yep.
What happened? What?
Well... A young woman goes to a man's home and takes care of his sick wife, who he keeps locked in an attic. And then she falls in love with this man. And he is like, I can't love you because I'm committed to my wife who is sick. And she's like, okay. And then the wife gets out.
There's also zombies.
There's one zombie.
Or maybe two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the basic skeleton, not spooky, scary skeletons, but just the skeleton of the story.
Skellingtons?
Is suggested by Jane Eyre. Mostly the first, third of the movie is more.
I like how you were like, we're getting into a scary movie and leaving this plot line behind. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't.
Well, that was my big clue from the intro was something I'm not telling you about this movie.
And I was more focusing on the gay.
Oh yeah, we can focus on the gay. We can totally focus on the gay when we get into the story. But it is very much suggested. The premise is Jane Eyre. I mean, she's not a
teacher.
She's not a teacher. She's a nurse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not just one broody man.
There's two
broody men.
Broody men.
She meets, so this, well, basically, so what's the real, like, beyond the Jane Eyre-esque notion of, what's the basic setup?
A young woman gets hired as a nurse in this, where are they? Where does this movie take place?
Well, it starts in Canada, because that's where she's from. I totally did not miss that. I had to read the synopsis. Oh, she's a Canadian nurse. It takes place on the Caribbean island of Saint Sebastian.
Okay. Well, she goes there and she meets this wheat farmer. What is he? Like a something grower?
Well, he's got a plantation.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure what he grows, but he's a plantation owner. Or it's been in his family.
And so she's like working for him. Like, and she meets his brother,
yeah,
who's like this very charming, like, ho, ho, ho.
But she's been hired to take care of his wife.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like in Jane Eyre where she doesn't know there's someone in this house. Like, she knows that there's a woman, there's something wrong with
her. She doesn't know exactly what, though, because nobody told her.
Right, yeah.
If I was a nurse and I was like, they were like, we want to hire you out to somebody, but we're not going to tell you what the condition the person has, and we're not going to tell you anything. You have to go to this distant place alone and just live there now.
Yeah.
I would be like, no, no shot. No way.
And you said he has a brother.
Yeah.
Who comes across at first as like the nice one. But then you learn he ain't so nice.
Neither of them are nice.
Yeah, but you have like the Jane Eyre thing, which is like one guy's not nice just because he's all broody. And then one guy's not nice because he's like a mean alcoholic.
He's not just all broody, though. He was like, he wouldn't let her leave.
Right. He also wouldn't let her appreciate how beautiful the island is.
No, like he wouldn't let his wife
leave. Oh, his wife leave. Yeah. You got to be specific. The nurse. It's hard because like the names are Paul and Betsy and Wesley. Like they're all like
white people names.
They're just these white people. They're relatively unmemorable. The actors are people who I'm not that familiar. Like they're first of all, I think the acting is good. Mm-hmm. I think it's a well performed movie. But yeah, they're all people who I was like, I don't remember who these what these characters are called or like much about.
I remembered Paul because people say his name like 600 times in the movie.
Oh yes. What is his wife's name?
Lindsay.
No, Jessica.
Jessica.
Yes.
Right, like
Jessica Rabbit.
Not what I was thinking. I was thinking of Rebecca, but that's not the same.
It's not the same name as Rebecca. So what is her illness manifest as?
Pretty much a complete catatonic state where she can obey basic commands.
Mm-hmm.
But she's definitely not aware of her surroundings.
Yeah, the first time we meet her, it's kind of a pretty intense little scene. Because Betsy, like...
is going upstairs to... Oh, because she heard crying.
Yeah.
And she was going upstairs to find out what was going on. Because she hasn't met Jessica yet.
Right.
And she calls for her, and nobody's there. And she turns around, and Jessica's just walking slowly up the stairs towards her.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's spookily lit, and you don't really know what this woman's deal is, and she doesn't say anything. Yeah,
she's very pretty.
Yeah, but it's very atmospherically shot. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Caribbean island, though, where this takes place. One thing about this movie is, well, the zombies in this movie aren't, of course, modern zombies.
Yeah.
They are like voodoo zombies,
mm-hmm.
More or less. And that is a proposition that is rife with cultural stereotypes, especially movies made in 1943. Has the potential to be very exploitative, a lot of like weird makeup and bones through the nose. But what we get is an attempt, at least, I would say. Like, it's by no means unproblematic.
Yeah.
But it's a very strong attempt, subtextually and blatantly, to frame this as in a very racial, like, not avoid the racial connotations of what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Like, Saint Sebastian is an island that was founded by slave owners. Like, it was taken over by slave owners. It was part of the slave trade. There, the plantation has a slave ship masthead of Saint Sebastian as its like centerpiece. The
with arrows sticking out of it.
With the arrows sticking out of him. The indigenous population of the island are pretty much very vocal about how beaten down they are by the fact that this island became like a center of the slave trade. Like, and they, that was part of the crying that she heard. It was not obviously Jessica crying. It was mm-hmm. one of the island residents,
the woman who keeps reappearing.
Yes.
I like her.
She was, well, why was she crying?
Wasn't a baby born?
Yeah. So what's the deal with crying when a baby's born?
Well, I mean, a lot of people cry when babies are born. You're going to have to be more specific.
Well, she's crying because the baby was born. Because since the slave trade, it's customary to cry at a birth and celebrate at a death because life is going to be so hard for this child. Which I think is a very telling theme in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't really hear what she said when she was
really?
Talking about. Yeah, I was like, okay, I was more focused on Jessica.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. It's, they make this big point that the birth of a baby is not something to celebrate because this baby is being born into hardship. And that's kind of depressing, actually. Mm-hmm.
At least it's honest. That's more than you usually get in the 1940s.
So we learn that Jessica has a little bit of a backstory, and it is told to us in song by Sir Lancelot, who is...
amazing.
Yes. Sir Lancelot is a singer. Who's a real singer, mm-hmm. and he's featured in the show as the singer on the island. What does he sing about?
He sings about Jessica cheating on her husband.
Yeah, with who?
With his brother.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
Oh, and while Betsy finds out about this, she is sitting with Paul.
Right. And he's like, and I'm like, dude, don't, probably shouldn't sing that song. You're probably not going to get your tips if you sing the song to Paul about his wife.
I feel like he did that on purpose just to upset Paul.
That's Sir Lancelot.
Well, I mean, like, Paul seems kind of like a, excuse my language, prick.
Yeah, a bit of a stick in the mud. Yeah, when I said he keeps telling Betsy not to get too, like, attached to the, like, whenever he's like, you think this is a pretty beautiful island, huh? And she's like, yeah, it's pretty nice.
No, that's
like,
the other guy.
No, Paul's the curmudgeon, right?
I thought Paul was the alcoholic.
Wait, then who's the brother?
Wait, is Paul the name of the guy who hired her?
Yes.
Okay, then what's the other guy's name?
The brother is Wesley.
Wesley, okay.
Yes, they have different last names because they're half-brothers.
Right.
Paul's the curmudgeon, Wesley's the alcoholic.
So Wesley is the one who was sitting with her.
Wait. No, Paul was the one who was sitting with her, wasn't he?
No. Because Wesley was sitting with her, and then he started drinking.
Okay, I'm getting my scenes confused. That's right. Because she's initially, like, very attracted to Wesley, because mm-hmm. he's a nice guy, and he's the younger one, and he's, like, a little more vivacious. Right. And then Sir Lancelot starts singing the song, and that's when you start seeing, like, Wesley get a little darker, and he starts drinking. You're right. Sorry, I was thinking of a different scene, and I got the two scenes
Well, I got the names confused, so that probably didn't help.
This is the most confusing story for only having three characters.
Well, like, they all have, like, the same name.
Which is funny, because they all have different names. So the story goes that Jessica was going to run away with Wesley, mm-hmm. and what do people think happened to her?
She got cursed?
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of island curse turned her into a zombie.
Yeah.
So there's a scene with Sir Lancelot, and he sings a stupid song, and Wesley gets all upset about it, and the people who own the restaurant are like, cut out the singing.
And he's like, nah.
Yeah, and so this starts planting a little seed in Betsy's mind that maybe things aren't quite on, like, quite square at this on this island. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe something happened to this woman. She has a seedy backstory. It involves this guy who she thought was cool. He probably ain't cool. Because you can't sing a song about a guy if it's not true.
That's true. 100%.
Yeah.
So she is out with Wesley. Sir Lancelot sings his song.
Yes.
Wesley's upset, tells the waiter to go tell him to stop singing the song.
Yeah.
Then he gets really drunk and passes out. And Betsy's like, oh, God, I have to drag this guy back to the house. And then a woman shows up and is like, let me help you with that.
Yes.
And that ends up being the mom of Paul and Wesley.
Yes. And we have met this woman before.
Yes.
We've met this woman before. She is in, I believe, Jane Eyre.
Is she play that nun?
No, she plays the housekeeper who Jane Eyre thinks hired her. And she's like, are you my boss? And she's like, no. Yes. And I had to look at it. I was like, why does she look so familiar? She plays Mrs. So-and-so and so-and-such from Jane Eyre.
But who else does she look like?
Who does she look like?
My Aunt Meryl.
She does. She kind of looks like Meryl.
Not kind of.
A lot. She has that kind of like youngish, olderish woman face.
And also the same hair.
Also, the actress is only 2 years older than the actor playing her son. Just a little.
Yep.
And you're like, because I was like, wait, how old is she? How? Like, this guy doesn't. Oh, because they just cast like a rando woman. So, yes. Her name for being a rando is Mrs. Rand. Just so you can remember. And what's her deal? What's her dealio?
She is a nurse mm-hmm. as well. She just wants her kids to be happy.
Yeah.
And she thinks that Betsy's great.
Right.
And we don't really know much else until later in the movie.
Right. She's not a nurse. She's a doctor. She's actually...
Dr. Rand.
She's actually Dr. Rand. And the story that goes around the island is that Jessica was going to run away with Wesley, but she got a fever. They just keep saying a fever.
An island fever.
It's an island fever.
That's what they say.
I know, because it's on the island. It's a medical diagnosis. You have island fever.
It's like cabin fever, except worse.
Right.
That's not true. Cabin fever's awful.
Is this the point where the mother says, like, if you can get my son Wesley to stop drinking...
Yeah.
Get him to stop drinking.
No, it's if you can get Paul to take the centerpiece off the table.
It's a very roundabout way to get someone to stop drinking.
The whiskey off the table, that'd be grand.
Right, that'd be step one. That's step one of 100 steps to get someone to stop drinking is you simply take the bottle off the table.
The final step is them dying.
I walk with a zombie, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, the first line of the movie is, I walked with a zombie. Yep.
You didn't really walk, you more ran.
Right. Well, there's some ocean walking.
No, there's not. Not between Betsy and Jessica.
Bessica. We'll get to that.
Also Betsy and the Island Woman.
Right, because we haven't gotten to the Island Woman yet.
Technically, we should have because she was in the whatever.
Right. So we find out that Paul is feeling guilty about his wife because he thinks that
He thinks that he stressed her out too much.
Right.
Which is known for making people turn into zombies.
Right, which immediately makes Betsy fall in love with Paul. Within this one scene, apparently, she's like, I love him. I love him. He gives no reason for her to fall in love with him.
Yep.
Yep. Not even like Jane Eyre reasons. Like, because Jane Eyre, at least you had the thing of like, Jane Eyre's never really met a guy. Like, she doesn't really know many men. Like, she, and also she has a strong, like, really strong moral center. She wants to take care of this. Betsy, you're like, well, you're not some
she's
cloistered
also like,
woman. You're like,
she's also only been there for like 2 days.
Yeah.
This movie takes place over like 3 days.
Right. And like Jane Eyre, you knew that like she had been abused her whole life. Like, she had this hard life. Like, Betsy, just like, you're a nurse. Like, and you took a job, like, on this island. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, you probably met other men, like, other broody men. Like, what is it about Paul? We don't know.
He's tall.
He is tall. Tall Paul.
I was going to make that joke, but then you beat me to it.
That's an actual song. Tall Paul.
That sounds like a dumb song. Let's continue talking about the movie.
I believe it was a Sherman Brothers song. It was like their first big like hit. The Sherman Brothers.
Let's just talk about the movie.
Chim Chim Charu. So there's this whole thing where they're like, should we put Jessica down? Should we just kill her because she's unhappy?
Well, who was it that asked? Was it Paul or Wesley that asked her?
I thought it was Paul.
I think, yeah. You have all those things that can make people go to sleep. And she's like, no, yeah. That's murder.
Right, right.
And he's like, well, she's basically dead already.
Mm-hmm. So this is where we learn from Alma, who is the
head of house?
Head of house, yeah. Like, the woman who works in the house. She's black, and mm-hmm. she lives on the island.
And she's very beautiful.
She's very beautiful. And I'd like to believe that Betsy thinks so, too. Mm-hmm. Some eyes being made.
Why is her name Betsy?
Betsy Wetsy.
It's a cow name.
It's not a cow name.
It is!
But Betsy DeVos is the head of it. Anyway. Housemaid Alma. She's the housemaid. She's the one who fills Betsy in on the fact that, hey, by the way, voodoo. And what does she tell her about voodoo?
It could cure Jessica.
Right. This might be a voodoo thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's voodoo people. And you should come meet some voodoo friends. Here, wear this voodoo badge.
So you don't get killed by the voodoo man.
Right. So she gives her voodoo, like,
pin thing.
Yeah.
Which never amounts to anything.
It does not amount to anything. So this is like a creepy scene. There's like this really creepy scene. They have these voodoo, like, they're like what?
They're pieces of cloth.
Yeah, they get pinned to their,
like, blouse.
Yeah. And she gets one and Jessica gets one.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, go to this place, meet the voodoo man, and he will, but you have to keep these pins on. This is how they know you're all right. So tell us about this journey.
Well, they go through these cornfields, mm-hmm. I think. They look like cornfields. They're fields of some sort of grain.
Yes.
And then they come across this tallman.
Mm-hmm.
But before they come across this tallman, Betsy's badge gets taken off by one of the branches.
Yes.
Oh, no. And then they walk past him and nothing happens.
Nothing happens. But he's this large, very tall man who is played by an actor who played, oh boy, he played a whole lot of zombies and silent black men. His name is Darby Jones. And I read an interview with Darby Jones. It was online years later, like then in like the 80s. And the interviewer asked him, like, do you ever feel weird, like, the fact that you had to play, like, just a bunch of silent black men? Like, you were just playing basically, like, a walking body a lot. Or, like, you were being cast just because you were intimidating looking because he was very tall. And he was like, nope. He's like, that's what they cast me as, and I did my job, and I got paid a lot of, like, money otherwise. Like, I got paid money for it. So, like, well, you know, like, it was unfortunate. He did get, you know, he got paid, and he made his living, and he made these choices. And
seems like a pretty easy role to play.
It was a pretty easy role to play, and he did a good, I mean, for a silent role, he did a great job.
Yeah.
He wore this creepy makeup on his face, these eyes. Creepy eye makeup. The badges come to not very much. Jessica still has her badge. I guess that's okay. It's like a stamp on your hand at a club. They let them both back in. And what happens?
There's a lot of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a line to meet up with the doctorman.
Right.
and pause.
Okay.
We have to rewind.
What's the rewind?
Because Betsy asks Dr. Rand.
Yeah.
If, oh, I think I might go to this voodoo thing. And Dr. Rand's like, no, don't do it. It's bad. And she's like, oh, okay. And then it goes anyways.
Yeah, they sneak out.
Mm-hmm. So she meets with this doctor person and then gets pulled into the booth, leaving Jessica behind. And it's Dr. Rand.
Bum, bum, bum. Dr. Rand, the voodoo doctor. What's the deal with that?
She was like, these people won't listen to me, but they will listen to their gods. And so I'm going to help these people, and they're going to take my medicine, but I'm going to pretend to be a god.
Right. It's tricky, and this is kind of one of the problematic parts, because it's very much like these natives with their wacky beliefs. But also, like, Rand is kind of like doing the whole, like, look, I've got to get them their inoculations or whatever, and this is the only way they'll do it. But meanwhile, Jessica's still outside.
Just standing there.
And there's still a ceremony going on. And they do something very odd.
They stab her.
In the arm with a sword.
Yep.
And she doesn't bleed, apparently.
Doesn't even react.
And they're like, zombie.
Which is weird, the reaction, because they already knew she was a zombie.
So we're like, as viewers, we're like, is she a zombie? Like, they stabbed her in the arm with a sword and she didn't bleed. Like, a little of, like, I don't know if we're supposed to, like, believe that she's still a zombie. Like, it's weird. Like, at this point, because I think the whole point is, like, are we supposed to think this is really a zombie thing, or is this a paranormal thing, or just, like, a psychological thing? But once you stab the person with the sword and they don't bleed, you're sort of leaning a little bit now towards the
zombie thing.
Sort of zombie side. Right, but, like, Haitian zombie, like, voodoo zombies were always supposed to be, like, they are people who had been cursed by a voodoo priest to be slaves for the priest.
Wouldn't that mean they would still breathe?
Right, right. Like, they were still breed. It was sort of like you were put in this, like, sort of half life. Like, you were half alive, not really alive, not really dead.
You were hypnotized.
But you still breathed and slept and ate. You just had no free will.
Yeah.
Like, that's the original zombie. When I was a kid, on Sunday afternoons, there would always be, like, these classic horror movies, like, from this era, and they always be like, oh, I walked with a zombie. And then I'd look it up and be like, oh, it's that kind of zombie. Like, I always wanted to see, like, the scary zombies. And these were, like, more, like, existentially scary zombies, because it was supposed to be like, oh, my God, like, if you cross the wrong guy, you could be trapped forever inside your own brain, like, being ordered about by a mad doctor who, like, the idea is that you're aware of what's happening, but you can't control any of it. Like, it's a punishment. Like, it was a bad thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't, like, it wasn't a passive thing. It was the people who created zombies. The stories would always be that people would disappear from villages and be presumed dead. And then later people would be like, oh my, I saw your son or your father doing field work for, like, some, like, this guy. And they'd be like, what is he doing field work? And they'd go try to, like, talk to him, and he would just be, like, mindless, like, just a body doing work. And that was kind of the zombie thing. It was terrifying because, like, it could happen to anyone was the idea. Like, you could be knocked out, wake up, and you're a zombie. Which, so as a kid, that wasn't that frightening. But as an adult, I can see where that is actually a lot more, like, if you think this is a thing that could happen to you, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if it's in your culture. Like, cross the wrong priest and you're done.
I wish that people were still like that. Because then people wouldn't be mean to people.
Oh my goodness. I mean, there are other ways people threaten other people's lives.
I don't think that people should be, like, living in constant fear, but I wish that, like, people were like, oh, if you cross this person, you could end up a zombie. Better be nice to everybody, just,
I mean,
in case.
Religions kind of do that, though, with, like,
yeah, but not, like, that seriously anymore.
But I mean, there's enough people, I guess, who believe in, like, hell and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop them from throwing bricks at gay people.
Yes, but unfortunately, the people who are in charge of religions are usually the ones who are also throwing the bricks.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rarely the underclass, the underrepresented people who are also the ones who are turning people into zombies. Unfortunately, it's usually the people at the top with all the power are also the jerks. So it's probably good they can't turn people into zombies.
What if you could turn people into zombies?
I would have so many zombie friends.
Is that the only way you could get friends?
That is the only way I can get friends. Voodoo magic. One thing about these voodoo rituals, you see, is they were, for the time especially, very, very researched. What you're seeing isn't, it's not shot to be scary. It's more like almost documentary style. Like, mm-hmm. here's a voodoo ritual. It's not lurid. It's intense and kind of intimidating, but only because it's so different. But mm-hmm. I think they did it. I personally, I mean, again, I am not a voodoo practitioner. I have no horse in this race. But from a viewing standpoint, I found it more. They were trying to be as kind of clinical as possible and just sort of show you this voodoo.
They weren't
rituals.
Trying to make it like, look at these crazy people doing right. these wacky things.
Now the movie does get to come into some criticism, of course, by being a movie made by white people about white people. Like, it's about, it's presumably about voodoo, but they still focus on like this poor, poor white woman. It does come under a lot of like criticism for that, but it also comes in a lot of praise, historically speaking, because they were trying to not cast the voodoo practitioners in a negative light. They cast them as a little bit naive and susceptible to Dr. Rando, but you know, otherwise they're not the bad guys
Dr.
in this story.
Dr. Rancho.
I have 8 legs.
Well, the voodoo thing doesn't work, obviously. They get sent back home by Dr. Rando.
Yeah.
So what happens? Paul's like, get out of here then. Go home.
Yep.
Yep. Because
and then the police come.
Do they?
There's that one police guy, remember?
And what does he do?
He's like, somebody did this intentionally.
Did what intentionally?
Made Jessica into a zombie. And they're like, he's like, somebody poisoned her or whatever. And Paul is like, it was me. I did it. I stressed her out so much she turned into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And Wesley is like, yeah, he totally did it. 100%. It's his fault. Everything that's wrong in my life is his fault. He sucks.
Yeah.
Arrest him. And the mom is like, no, it was me.
And people are like, what?
She's like, Jessica was tearing my family apart. I didn't want that to happen. I told the voodoo priests that she was a bad woman. And I asked them to curse her. And then I pretend to be possessed by their god. And then I was on the way home when I think I was actually possessed by their god. And he cursed her to be a zombie.
Yeah, it's a weird... Dr. Rand's an interesting character because she's like, this voodoo stuff is ridiculous. But it worked this one time. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, you don't really ever get a good sense of like what her motivation at this point is. Like, she's still pretending to be the voodoo guy. She's still, I guess, trying to help the island people. But also... she may have cursed Jessica into being a walking zombie. We don't really get a good idea of what actually happened.
Yeah.
But she did it because she was just trying to
keep her family together.
Unfortunately, poor Jessica, who we don't really learn a lot about.
Yeah.
Like, was she a bad person? Apparently, in the original draft of the screenplay, Jessica was a bad person. Like, they really emphasized the whole, like, it was more like Rebecca in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was a seductress. Who,
A gold digger,
tore people apart, did it all, was doing this all on purpose just to, like, be a jerk. She was more like Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And instead, they were like, you know what, cut all that, because let's keep this ambiguous. Like, is she a victim? Is she? And I think that's a stronger choice.
I feel like she's probably a victim.
Yeah, she'd probably be. Actually, even if she was a jerk, probably still a victim.
Yeah. It's like the whole Frankenstein paradox again. Not paradox. It's not the word I'm looking for.
Conundrum?
Yeah. Like, ooh, who's the real victim? The person who got their entire family killed. That's right. The victim.
The perpetrator is the perpetrator. The victim is the victim.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you could still have done a lot of...
like, negative, terrible things in your life.
Right.
But if somebody kills your entire family, they aren't the victim.
Right. They're still a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul and... well, everyone pretty much is like, okay, Dr. Rand.
Bye-bye.
Good story. But then this is where, like, Wesley's like, all right, well, I'm going to get her out of this mess.
Yeah, I'm going to take her to a hospital.
Yeah, well, they start trying to get her back to the voodoo island, or the voodoo doctor. Voodoo people do.
No, wait, but you missed a thing.
What is it? What did I miss again?
You missed the fact that he was trying to get her to a sanatorium.
Oh, right. There's another call for, like, hey, Betsy, will you please kill her? Again, like, they're like, will you put her down.
And she's like, no.
Stop asking me to kill this poor woman.
They're like, well, we're going to take her to a sanatorium on the mainland. And
yes.
She's like, she is literally treated like a queen here.
Yes.
You want to send her there? Because let me tell you something about how mental health health was treated in the 1940s.
Yeah, other than the fact that she's a catatonic zombie, Jessica's doing all right.
Yeah.
Like, she gets to wander around freely.
She has a nice bed.
Yep.
Nice clothes.
She's not being tortured or anything. She's a zombie, but that's pretty much it.
And for all we know, she's not even a zombie.
But this is where we get introduced to the concept of the voodoo doll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally a doll.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes this doll?
Some guy.
And how does he get her, like, essence, like her hair,
something like that?
Yeah. They get a little bit of her, and apparently the voodoo person is this sabrur. I never heard it said, but that's apparently what he's called, sabrur. And we see a voodoo doll ceremony.
Yeah,
that's kind of creepy. It's I don't know how accurate it is.
Well,
but
we
it's...
definitely see the string.
Mm-hmm. I think you're supposed to see the string, like,
okay.
I think so. He's like, he sets up this little Barbie doll of her.
Yeah.
And he's like pulling it towards himself with his like voodoo powers. And you see the string pulling the doll towards him. I believe the string is supposed to be visible. Like,
I hope so.
You pull the doll toward the person who's calling the doll, and that makes the person who's under the sway of the doll come to the person.
Except for she can't.
Right. Why?
Because there's a gate.
Oops. The gate is shut against her. But Wesley opens the gate to let her out.
Not of his own accord, though.
How does he open the gate?
They have a doll of him, too.
More voodoo. They start controlling Wesley. And then what happens?
They walk towards the beach, and he carries her, and they go in and drown and die.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. He goes, and he gets an arrow out of the St. Sebastian statue.
Oh, that's right.
And the voodoo guy stabs the doll with a pin.
So he stabs
her.
Jessica.
With the arrow. Wesley kills Jessica, and then he drowns?
They walk into the ocean, and he drowns.
But he carries her. What does the tall man have to do with this?
I can't remember.
Do you remember the tall zombie? He's coming after them. There's like this whole... It gets kind of... It's weird and very surreal ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Wesley kills Jessica with the arrow, and then the tall zombie man comes after them. Wesley's carrying Jessica into the ocean. The zombie is pursuing them, kind of forcing them on. And then later on, their bodies wash up to shore. And then the end.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's kind of it. Like, they get poor Jessica, I guess. She gets punished for not really doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, in the eyes of the film board, they both get punished for adultery.
Even though we don't really know what their relationship was. Like, we don't know if they were, like, just in love and they were like, we can't be together because I'm married to your brother.
Right.
If they, like, slept together,
yeah,
which
we don't
doubt.
Apparently they were going to run off together, and that's all we really know. That apparently they were going to run off together.
According to Wesley.
According to Sir Lancelot.
Well, Wesley also said that.
Yes.
The alcoholic jerk.
Right.
Who is a man.
Yeah.
It's another story where the woman doesn't get to defend herself against these accusations.
Exactly. The like Rebecca, like the wife in the attic in Jane Eyre, Jessica has no voice in this story. None. She doesn't get to make her case to the audience at all. We know is what we're told and sung in the course of the plot, which is unfortunate.
She could have been like, what are you talking about?
I didn't even know Wesley very well. Where's her wide Sargasso Sea? Where's our prequel to I Walk with a Zombie about Jessica?
I don't know.
Like, that's the story I want. Like, her life on this, like sultry island.
Like, I highly doubt she wanted to get married to this guy.
Yeah, maybe not, because Wesley was kind of a jerk.
No, Paul.
Because Paul was kind of a jerk.
What was his first line in the movie? You think those stars are beautiful? Well, they're not.
Well, get out of yon.
Do you think you're so pretty? Well, you're not.
But do you know who is so beautiful and pretty?
Who?
Alma.
True.
Let's talk about lesbians.
Let's talk
about gay subtext. Let's talk about gay supertext.
True.
Yeah.
It's a very gay movie.
Tell me about this.
Okay, so the entire time that Betsy and Alma are in the same room together, there's this eye contact and these motions that are made that are obvious. They're gay for each other. There's like, and what we were like the entire time was we were like, she's saying she's falling in love with Paul just to stay with Jessica the entire time.
It's so obvious.
Yes.
That Betsy cares more for Jessica than anyone else in this movie. Mm-hmm. Then she cares for like Paul than she cares for Wesley. She goes out of her way to save Jessica.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm doing this for Paul. No, like, you're not.
No, you're doing this because there's this beautiful woman who is being cared for. Well, so there's beautiful Jessica. Mm-hmm. There's beautiful Alma, whose relationship with Betsy is the most believable relationship in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're friends.
Yeah, they've got great chemistry on screen together. Mm-hmm. They have nice rapport, and as is often the case when this happens in a movie, even if it's not the intention of the filmmaker, you are just like, they should be together.
Yeah.
Like, they should be together. Like, I don't care about these dudes. Like, but these two.
Get lost.
Yeah, but these women all have, like, this great thing going on.
Yeah.
Let's make it about them. Maybe it is about them. The movie just ends. For all we know, Betsy's like, sure, Paul, I'll stay here with you. Where's Alma? How's Alma doing?
I like to think that that's what happened.
So do I, because that's a healthier relationship than she's going to get with Paul.
You think you're so beautiful? Well, guess what? You are not.
And Mama Rand. Mama Rand's only 2 years older than her own son. That's weird. That's strange. I don't understand how that works.
Maybe they're her stepsons, and she just got married to really old dudes.
Where is he? We don't know.
Well, maybe that's why her first husband died, because he was really old.
Well, this movie did not do very well when it was first released.
It's because of there was too much gay.
The New York Times said it was dull, disgusting exaggeration of an unhealthy, abnormal concept of life.
Because of the gay.
But later on, it was referred to as intelligent and exceptional and the most elegant of the RKO horror movies.
Because of the gay. I want a movie just called The Gay.
And now it is considered a classic.
Yeah.
Just like Cat People, the other movie by Jacques
French
Tourneur,
man.
the French film director. It's subtle and about more than you would initially think from the plot synopsis. Mm-hmm. I thought that the performances were great, even if they were a little underwritten. Your leads all did a good job at playing jerks and weirdos. I thought it was effective. Like, I thought it was, like, I kept thinking about it. Like, this is a darn tootin' little movie. Tooted all over the place.
Darn tootin' little movie.
This movie tooted and darned, and I loved it. And it's short. Mercifully, mercifully short. What is your assessment of it?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I recommend 100%.
You can get a DVD of I Walked with a Zombie. It's got a few extra features. It's got if I recall correctly, it's got some commentary. You can buy it. It's available.
It's like, available in DVDs.
It's available in DVD format. Go online. Go to Amazon or whatever. I wasn't able to find it streaming, but it was easily findable as a DVD. It's one of Guillermo del Toro's favorite horror movies.
Why do we think he liked it?
Why do we think he liked it? Well, because exactly like so many of his other favorite movies, like Rebecca and Jane Eyre. Why do you think he liked it?
The exact same reason. Well, probably because of, yep.
I mean, all I've been able to find, he said basically that it's moody, it's atmospheric, that it's a good, just basically it's a good horror movie, that he really liked it. It gets the job done. I think it plays on a lot of his themes of like the underclass. It's, you know, it has a lot to do with like the sort of the earthy rituals of a native people. It's, you know, it's melodramatic. It's got a little romance at the middle of it, and it's compassionate about its monsters. I married a zombie. I mean, I walk with a zombie. Well, as you can see,
I was just nodding along.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot, you know, a whole lot else to say about it.
Recommend 100%.
Recommend 100%. IGN. Yeah, if you have some friends over, you want to kill an hour, watch I Walked with a Zombie.
You want to kill 69 minutes?
Yep, nice. It's a movie to watch. It's definitely there. Underappreciated classic.
Yeah.
I would say, like, it doesn't get listed in a lot of like classic horror movies, but it's definitely up there. It's well shot, well acted.
Quality.
Speaking of well shot, well acted, and quality, Ollie, what is the next movie in The Ecstasy of Influence?
No idea.
The next movie in The Ecstasy of Influence is, drum roll please, The Uninvited.
Oh, I've heard of that
from
movie.
1944.
Remake it?
There have been movies called The Uninvited. I don't think they're at all related to this. I will tell you this, though. From the most popular mystery romance since Rebecca.
Jesus Christ!
It's not like Rebecca. All I'm going to tell you is that it's not like Rebecca. It actually involves the supernatural. So I guess that's all I have to say about that. That's all I have to say about that.
See you later.
That's my Forrest Gump joke.
Okay.
I don't know how to get out of this now. I just killed up. I killed the podcast dead. Help me. Help me. Before we go, I want to say, if you happen to be on iTunes and you listen to this show, please rate and review us. Give us a little 5-star rating if you like our show.
Just a little one.
And give us a review. We'd love to hear more from you. Haven't had anyone review the show in a while, and I want to know more about what our listeners are doing.
Also, don't be a jerk.
Don't be jerks. If
you have some criticism, make it constructive.
Yeah, but I don't think we've gotten any unconstructive criticism.
Not yet.
There's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow for bad iTunes reviews.
I don't know why I laugh like that now.
It's your Tommy was so loud. But until then, that's not how I end the show. Mr. Friends, I am Miss Phil. I am totally done. I'm finished.
Do you want me to do the outro by
How
myself?
Do we do the outro?
I'm Phil and I'm Ollie.
What's That's all we say? We just go right into that? Yeah. I'm Phil.
And I'm Ollie.
And we'll see you when
it's Del Toro time.